Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Eric.
How are you?
I am great. How are you?
Doing well, thank you. We have a busy week already, and it's only...
Tuesday.
Today is Tuesday. We're still in quarantine.
It's Tuesday.
Jeff, who is on this Tuesday podcast?
We have Brandon Jersey Jinx Jenkins.
The full name.
The full government name.
All right.
I'm putting it all out there.
You guys know Jinx from his photography, from his DJing, from his commentary on Revolt's State of the Culture.
Also Mogul on Spotify.
Yeah, a little light podcast work.
His many years at Complex.
Yeah, it's fine. He does a lot of stuff.
Also, like, the what was it? The Best Friends Club?
I think that we're in with him.
The Good Time Gang?
That's what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Invite Boys?
That's
Hentai.
Shout out to the Invite Boys.
Shout out to the Hentai King.
Then we have Mouse Jones.
Mouse Jones.
You know Mouse Jones. Man, he's another one who does like a million things.
Yeah.
He has the Guys Next Door podcast. He has a million podcasts. He's starting a new podcast called Quarantine
Nightly.
Nightly.
Yep. Quarantine Nightly.
Yeah. I was trying to think. You know, it's like we do Quarantine
Daily.
Daily.
He does Quarantine Nightly.
Got it.
Yeah. It's the after party to our, brunch.
That's right.
Our Saturday brunch
and
every day.
And then, Jeff, we have Philadelphia's own
Freeway. And Neef Buck.
And a surprise appearance
from
the birthday boy himself. Happy birthday to our guy, Neef Buck. We talk about a little state property stuff. We check in with them.
About beards?
We do talk about beards. Go get that best beard cream. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Freeway. Jeff, when do you want to get into this podcast?
Right after I tell people that you can always support your boys, It's The Real, on patreon.com/itsthereal. Creatives need your help more now than ever.
It's true.
Go to patreon.com/itsthereal.
Jeff, let's call Brandon Jinx Jenkins.
Yo,
what's happening?
Yo, what's good, guys?
So, first of all, how are you doing?
I'm good. I'm actually just in here laughing right now. I'm looking at before we get into that, how are you guys doing?
We're doing well as well, and we're also laughing at this whole entire thing. It's just utterly beyond comprehension.
Oh, no, I'm bummed about that, but I'm laughing. I just saw a tweet that read, you know, what would a battle look like between journalists or bloggers? And... like, you know, everyone's on battle culture right now.
Oh, my God.
You know, all the stuff that's happened on Instagram.
Yeah.
And my first thought was embarrassing. Like, it would look terrible. What do you guys mean? Everything isn't meant to be battled.
Yeah, I saw that that Mouse Jones and Rob Markman were talking about it yesterday, too. I'm just like, I do not want... of all the things that could... all the bad things that could happen, like, during this quarantine, I think that might be the worst thing.
Well, what were they saying? I didn't see their tweets. Were they saying, like, this could be a real thing?
Oh yeah,
I don't really think that's like a real thing. No, but I mean, like, they definitely like they put it into the air.
Jeff, are you saying that if someone came at you and were like, "Hey, I want to battle," you would turn them down?
Yes, 100%. I think it's the right move.
Yeah, definitely. I'll disqualify myself. Like, if I were to battle as a journalist, I should be disqualified from journalism. Like,
yeah, exactly.
But I would say, like, I'm not mad at a sort of
a bracket.
I don't even know what the word
like
is.
Like a play-in, like 64 different journalists vying for that Pulitzer.
Hell no, because I'm already sick of the rap journalists. I'm the best.
Yep.
Kind of shit that happens. Like,
yeah.
And it's like it's you. Like, I don't know. I don't want to get caught up in popping shots during Corona, but like it's already too much. What I actually would be down for is like. I think we were talking about this, how Andrew Barber's done like this really great job sort of like reminiscing on like rap moments and finding his way to like archive things. I'd be more down for that kind of treatment to journalism. Sort of like, I like how people post music video clips and concert clips and interview clips, but I'd like if they were sort of like, hey, this interview clip was fire, or I read this, like, here's this screenshot of this piece that I really fucked it, or this was a great magazine cover, or whatever the different pieces are of journalism. Here's the thing I really fucked with. We should unpack it with the person. Actually,
for sure.
Why am I saying that? I should probably pop that off. But
no, I think you should go to war with Andrew.
Right? Like, no, like, I have the best tweets. You have the best tweets.
So, Jinx, we've been talking a lot about, with you, with Rem, with Corey, with a lot of people, that this is a time now where culture and community are so, like, endangered, you know? You see a lot of museums are laying off staff. You see, like, the Metropolitan Opera is laying off people. You know, different companies that mean a lot are laying off people. It's a weird time. And you think that maybe that culture would either pause or maybe even die off. And then you get little glimpses where, like, that night when D-Nice hit 100,000, you know, viewers at one point during a set, or the battles that we've been seeing between, like, Swiss and Timbaland, and then, like, well, okay, let's keep the Dream One separate. But last night when you have Neo and Jonte, it feels like that's ours, and it feels like you adapt and you pivot, and it's like this is a sense of normalcy, you know?
I mean, look, like out of there's anything that's meant that's literally born in the pivot, it's hip hop culture and hip hop adjacent culture. Yep. I mean, the fact that like even you all popped this off, like I almost feel like I heard, whoa, the world's shutting down, and then I heard you guys were doing quarantine radio like within the same day. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we coordinated it great.
Yeah, I feel like the World Health Organization was like, yo, stay inside also.
We got the heads up. It was inside trading.
but facts, like I felt like the hip hop and kind of coming of it and being interested in it and being of this community and this culture, you're naturally facing circumstances that you wouldn't have to face. You naturally have an interest point in things that are changing rapidly, and it's a tool to communicate. So I feel like that sort of way of thinking is the same thing that made D-Nice be like, yo, I'm gonna get on Instagram and do this thing other people have been doing since Instagram Live or since streaming or any type of video format has popped up, right? The Boiler Rooms of the world,
yep.
Things like that, but I'm gonna just do it my way. And I think the timing of it showed people, it kind of brought people back to the essence, man. Like, yeah. I feel like a lot of what you're seeing now is like the people that would spend a lot of time being famous that are also artists have to now kind of dig back into their artistry bag just because they're bored.
Yeah.
And it's also the thing that keeps the machine going on their side. Like, I see Travis Scott punching on what looks like an NPC on a beatmaker device. And normally the picture would be Travis Scott kind of looking away from the camera, you know, selling us some new pair of sneakers at a fly.
Yeah.
But now he's like, yo, I'm in the crib. So, like, I'm going to just fuck with these things that I have that it's just kind of funny how people return back to the essence.
Absolutely.
But, to your larger point about culture, man, I am nervous though, man. Like, I like to see things happening in the digital space, but what that looks like going forward is I'm not that I don't lean on the side of optimism, but I do have a lot of caution. Like, I think about, like, the museums are one thing, man, but they're finna be all right. Like, I truly believe that, right? There's people that care about that, benefactors, people that invest in those communities and invest in those institutions. I mean, institutions that have been around 50, 60, 100 years.
Yeah.
I'm more concerned of, like, the corner spot that's, like, you know, selling us T-shirts that we used to meet up at, or, like, that venue that we all go to that you know can't sit out for a month, you know? And that to me is a culture as well.
Yeah,
and I think like the most commercially successful tiers of culture, I think they're finna find a way to survive. And I think that the same community that's pushed them to the forefront, you know, that's made like Metropolitan, like it's like hip hop. Hip hop wants to get played in the Met, wants to be at Carnegie Hall, which is fire.
Yep.
But the places where hip hop comes from, they're going to be the ones that are actually on the front lines.
For sure.
The ones that we lose. And it'll be that bar that you like going to, right? It'll be like that skate shop that's down the street that's run by skaters. It'll be that like that loft house that all the like young artists and videographers smoke weed at and hang at that they can kind of, you know, take their freelance checks and pump coins into it. They're going to lose that.
Yeah, I think like the crazy thing is too that not only, you know, is everything on pause now and that is so devastating, but then when the bailout comes in and that money all goes to these giant corporations that are then going to suffocate all of the mom and pop shops, like, and then everything just becomes sort of like WALL-E, where everything is just going to be under one conglomerate. Like, that, it's a very scary future that we're sort of heading towards. And so I think that it's all terrible. And so I wonder how, when people are all unemployed, how they're going to enfranchise themselves by building their own sort of things, or are we going to join, you know, the Amazons or the Walmarts or the whatevers of the world, just because that's the only place that have, that has money?
I mean, I think it's a real ass caution. You know, I hate getting on these calls because I'm the one who says the dark shit. But like, but anyway,
wait,
like,
I dove into.
Guys, this is even before we get into, like, what happens when they squeeze the internet and we only get, like, you know,
one meg per.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah, like, you dove into it, but this is my weed. You know what I mean? It's how I get high. But yeah, man. And I, you know, I'm on the side of telling people, like, you know, if you can, you know, flatten the curve, if you can, you know, be mindful of, like, the pressure we'll put on our health system. But, like, the fucked up part is that this system is kind of really demented from the start, and so like a lot of these different pieces don't work well together, and they don't usually work in the benefit of people. And people are now seeing, like, you take one piece out of that big Jenga tower and how everything else gets shaky. And so, like, yes, the culture will happen, but also the commerce will, the commerce that hits all of us and affects all of us will, It's gonna be rough, man. You know, that's my general thought, is like, it's just gonna be rough. I think the people who can create in this and have the room to wiggle and kind of find their way through this, and I think that it's important for them to do that, because you got to last a storm, and you got to put your mask on before you can put someone else's.
Yep.
But I do think it's important at a certain point to put someone else's mask on. Like,
well, where
I just saw this.
Yeah, oh, sorry, no, go ahead, go ahead.
I saw this girl. She just said she was laid off. You know, you're reading this, and it's like more and more people each day saying she was laid off from her job at this media outlet. And I'm, all right, so I go to her site, and I'm like looking at the stuff that she's writing about. I'm like, yo, she's fire. And I had no clue who she was at any point. And so now I'm like, oh, man, I should like get her to write something for me for this project that I'm working on. And so, like, that's kind of the role I think people who think they might be able to be in this or are working on something in this should be thinking about, is like, who can you lift along the way?
Yeah, I was telling a friend last night who has been laid off from her job, I was just like, well, now's the time that you work on something, because if there's not going to be money coming from anywhere, then you need to double down on yourself and just make the thing that, you know, you should do when your back is against the wall.
Yeah.
You know, I think that that's what Eric and I have done for the past like 13 years, but like, and it's just like, you have to have that sort of mentality where it's just like, there is money out there, it's not coming to me, and therefore I have to do this shit on my own.
Yeah.
And that's the side of optimism I do lean on. It's sort of like, all right, yo, like, they're squeezing the juice out of this. Like, what are you about to get out of it? And can you? And, you know, maybe it might not be as direct, right? Like, that relationship between what you do and the money you earn might be more fractured than it ever was. But, you know, in the meantime, it might be like, you might be restarting in a way of like, all right, I'm doing this thing and I'm basically an intern because I'm working and no one's paying me for it, but my skill set's getting nice. And
yeah,
it's a rough set of circumstances, man, for everybody everywhere. Like, it's just, it's kind of that, like, breaking, you know, I thought about how, like, we all have an interesting relationship with capitalism and like and employment and money, and how this thing is requiring us to rethink that.
Yep.
Requiring us to rethink our conveniences, our comforts, the things we take for granted, the things that we do that we don't take for granted. And my relationship with money is definitely being reimagined. It has been for a long time, but this has exacerbated that heavily. And so I'm on the side with you guys of, like, you know,
starting a revolution and you know, going out with pitchforks ablaze.
Oh, say less. So, like, I'm also on the side of, like, you know, using this time. Like, I definitely burnt a week of, like, just reading and checking with my family every day and trying to make sure we were on the same program of, like, how we're going to survive this. And friends that I heard, you know, people that are being affected by this, like, with actual illness as well.
Yeah.
But then I'm also in the week now of, like, yo, it's Monday. What you about to get to with all this? You know,
yeah, I mean, like, are you being productive? Like, are you like working on ideas? I know that you said that you were that you want to get this girl to write for you. So I mean, like, I know that's still in the works, but like, how How creative do you feel like on a scale of one to normal?
I guess nothing feels normal, and it's really the thing that's kind of lacking the normalcy for me is time. Time is really thrown off in a way, like that. I've been going to sleep at like 3 a.m. and then waking up at 7. Like everything's just kind of twisted.
Yeah, you're on college hours.
Yeah, like I kind of do need rules because otherwise, like I'll do whatever at any point. But for me though, I will say like I'm not that I'm an introvert, but like I kind of like being in the crib for the most part, you know. And like the thing that kind of takes me out of my creativity sometimes is having to do the other shit in the world that you have to do, you know, like go out and be among people and like go to this meeting, go to that thing and this thing. And some good advice I got a long time ago was like, when creativity comes, you want to be able to catch it. And a lot of times that's being present for it. Like, how many times do you guys get a good idea on the subway and then you think you're going to remember it?
Yeah.
By the time you get home, it's gone. Or you wrote a note, but that note doesn't capture what you felt in your mind.
Yeah.
So like, now that I'm home, I can just get right to the computer, or I can sit at the whiteboard, or I can write more in-depth notes. And I also have the belief that this time that, and I hope that this won't be forever. So this is a unique moment that I hope will be different than any other moment I ever experienced in my life. I don't want to feel this again. So if there's something different about this, I should lean into that. Try to pull what I can.
On the other hand, it's interesting because in a normal world, in a pre-COVID-19 world, you know, we go to a museum, you go outside, you can walk around. Inspiration can come from anywhere, right?
Yeah.
I saw your Instagram stories a few days ago, maybe it was last week, and you're an exceptional photographer, as we've told you, and as a ton of people out there know.
Damn, thank you.
And you were walking outside by yourself, taking some beautiful pictures of emptiness. And I'm curious as to whether that gave you inspiration or if it left you feeling bummed.
Kind of both, but like, it's like, I'm from Jersey originally, so I'm not from a busy environment, you know? And I've grown up and then been around busy environments. So I've always been able to like understand the value in both of those things, you know, like from sirens to like silence. And I'm also, I'm an internet kid. So like a lot of the stuff I use for inspiration is stuff I'm looking at through a screen. And so it's really helped me frame up how I look at things in real life. So when I'm walking around Brooklyn the other morning, and I'm looking around, I'm like, yo, it's the same, but it's different. Like it's a mural that I would have passed in an Uber every day going to a meeting in Brooklyn, but I've never walked by because I'm just not walking. Or there's a street corner that's super quiet now and there's no people around. And so your eyesight moves slower, you know, and you're looking at things differently and you're hearing things. Like I'm hearing more birds outside. Only thing I hear in Brooklyn right now is birds, the subway, which feels like it's less often than ever, and sirens. You know, and that is completely quiet for someone that lives on a street where I can hear arguments outside my apartment every
day.
And so even with that, those pictures, it was stuff that I would have just walked by instead of would have taken the time to get it, or would have been awkward, right? Like it's awkward taking photos on your phone out in public, you know, and like the awkwardness is kind of gone. It's awkward that there's no one else out there, but it's kind of allowing me to see things differently. Like, that right after I took some of those photos, I'm walking down the street and there's this old guy yelling out the window and he goes, yo, my man. I'm like, and I'm looking around. He's like, can you bring my trash can back from the street for me? You know, he's old. I'm sure he either didn't want to go down. He's old.
Yeah.
He was afraid.
Yeah.
And so brought the trash can back and he was like, I got you. Whenever I see you, you know, he's just talking some shit, but he said, whenever I see you again, I'm going to look out for you. But as I walked off, I like really appreciated him asking me.
Yeah.
And it felt like a movie. And I was like, because it was like a movie set. There was no one else there but the two principal characters talking.
Yeah. I think that it's one of those things where you really learn to appreciate the incredibly small moments of human contact. Like even just going into D Nice's thing and like having these, or even like a house party on that app or anywhere. It's just like you just appreciate just seeing people's faces or like being, told like anything in person.
Absolutely. And it's these phone calls for us that gives us a little bit of light every day, to be able to connect to other humans and know that, again, you're not alone. So, Jinx, we're going to be checking in with you regularly if that's cool with you. We appreciate you. We love you. Stay safe out there.
Keep returning people's trash cans.
Yes, and we'll be talking soon, all right?
Yeah, for sure. You guys stay safe.
All right, thanks, man.
All right, y'all.
Jeff, let's get our friend Mouse Jones on the phone. There we go.
Ooh, smooth.
Yeah.
Yo.
Mouse, what's happening?
What's going on, my brother?
How you living?
I'm maintaining, you know. Well, keeping it, trying to keep it calm.
I feel like you have like 3 million people living with you right now.
I feel like that too.
is that too many?
That, it's about too many for me, honestly.
Wait, you're cutting in and out.
Hold on, I got you.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. Mouse, do any of those people have the ability to give you a nice shape up?
Yeah, me. shout out to the bevel blade.
Mouse, through this whole thing, how has your mental been?
I mean, me mentally, I'm all right. I'm gonna be all right, because at the end of the day, that's the only choice we really have. I think it's taxing when, like, I just found out my biological father, who, you know, I said on y'all show prior, like, I don't really have a good relationship with, when he contracted it. So it's like trying to make sure he's decent from like two states away.
Yeah.
How many states Connecticut is. But yeah, other than that.
Well, I mean, really, like, just, how severe are his symptoms? Like, do you know? Like, also, how did you find out?
So what happened was his, how do you say this? I don't care about being politically correct. His girlfriend had reached out to my aunt. And then, so my younger cousin had reached out to me and my sister and gave us the heads up. So then I'm running all around trying to get in touch with everybody. And when I finally got in touch with his girlfriend, she let me know, you know, how serious it was at that time. And I just went into, like, you know, protective mode and was just like, hey, get him to the hospital. I'm only like an hour away, because I'm staying on Long Island with my kids. So it's like, I'm only an hour away. If I need to get to him, I'll drag him to the hospital. But, you know, this isn't the time to be the tough guy.
Well, yeah. Right. So, Mouse, as everyone knows, neither one of us has children. But what is the difference between being protective as a father and being protective as a son?
Wow. Wow. Great. Wow.
Listen, yeah, wow. You know, we get it's deep almost, on here.
It's almost as if you guys do this. So the difference really is, with your kids, you kind of feel like you have you have some type of control, even if you don't, right? Like, in this situation, I don't really have any control. You know, I've been here with them every day since this quarantine, thinking that my presence really is doing something, right? Like, mm-hmm. If they're gonna get sick, they're gonna get sick. It's not like I can. It's not like it's a bullet or a actual tangible person that I could defend them from.
Right. Right.
With your parents, but because there's the child parent relationship, it's kind of like there's a respect there, right? Like, if I say something, I know they're gonna do it.
Mm-hmm.
With your parent, especially an estranged one, there's so many blurred lines and obstacles I'm trying to defend. You know, like with my father who raised me, I'm like, listen, don't you take your black ass nowhere. You need to sit down. Mm-hmm. You know, I get it, because he sells houses. So I'm like, no, you need to sit down. You stay in the house. But you know, with my biological father, we're like, I'm walking over so many different minds. It's like, hey, listen, man, I'm just trying to make sure you're good. I mean, we could be at odds, but you would have to be alive for that to happen. That's basically what I told him.
Yeah. It's an unimaginable thing, I think, to deal with it. We know people who have it. We know people who have had symptoms that are like on the lower spectrum, some more severe. But to have it be, you know, blood is, that's gotta be super deep.
Yeah, like I said, it's always like it was like a multitude of emotions, right? Like, you get the news, and then you're like, oh, man. And I'm just being honest, you know. When I first got the news, I was like, well, fuck it, let him die. You know, he ain't been there for me. But then, very quickly, I'm like, well, you know, I have two little sisters from him that this would fall back on. And essentially, it would fall back on me as me being the oldest kid.
Yeah.
And then it was just something that didn't – and I know people look at me and think, like, I'm always this Roddy Rob person, but that's with people I don't know. Even, you know, yeah, he might have did me wrong, but this is not something – this is not the way you want it to end.
Right.
And I think a lot of that was – a lot of this past week has been that. So that's why, you know, people see me in, like, these stark extremes. It's like, you don't see me on social media at all, or, like, I'm going super hard with work. Like, hey, let's do this event. Let's do this. Let's do this.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, how are you able to balance that? I mean, like, and also then you have to be, like, a father, and you have to be there for, you know, you're like, in five different places at once right now. So, I mean, like, when Eric really asked you, like, you know, how is your mental, like, and you were like, yeah, you know, I'm okay or whatever. Are you good?
I think kind of like I said on y'all show prior, I don't ever take the time. I don't think I have that luxury, right? Like, you know, I'm very honest with the decisions I made in my life, good and bad, successes and failures. And I'm okay with knowing, like, right now I don't have that luck. Like, and which is being honest, sometimes with some people, checking on yourself or checking on your mental health is a luxury. And some of us don't have it, right? Like, I got two kids. I got family, extended family. I got a career that, you know, we're now, as a creative, now we're forced, you know, guys like us,
guys like us.
Guys like us. You know, we're thrust in this this unknown abyss where it's like, hey, it was sink or swim before, but now it's really sink or swim.
Yeah.
It's like, are you going to come out of this forgotten, or are you going to come out of this, you know, an innovative creator still at the forefront of what you're doing, like you guys?
Yeah. So that's a lot to compartmentalize, and you have a lot of literal noise going around you know your house all day and night.
Yeah.
Do you have a chance to escape, to go somewhere quiet and just, like, live with yourself for a minute?
I mean, I've been probably doing the same thing since I was a kid, and it's actually hilarious to see it now with my daughter. Like, I just bought her some like, my youngest, I just bought her some, like, Beats headphones, right?
Yeah.
She hasn't taken them off her head since I got them for her. And I'm laughing because it reminded me of that quiet place. So I'm like, okay, boom, I got to start doing that more. So where I was like, and I think everybody is, I think we as podcasters and content creators, we're seeing it, like, a lot of our numbers across platforms aren't streaming like they were prior to this, because everybody's at home. And I had to remember that. I'm like, you know what? I need, you know, all right, let me put the headphones in, quiet everybody out. Because essentially I'm going between two homes, right? Like, you know, I'm helping my baby mother out when she has to go to work. So I'm coming over there to get my kids and, you know, trying to leave some normalcy, because I don't want to have to keep shifting in between houses, because you don't know what germs that brings, whatever that brings. So, you know, I'm over there until she gets off, and I go back to my parents' house. And then you got dogs barking, and it's like, oh my God. So yeah, I just throw the headphones in and, you know, listen to you guys and listen to the read and other podcasts and get back to listening to music. That's why, you know, I did the, I did the actual No Rap on Sunday playlist finally.
Yep. Yeah. So, no, I thought your IG live last night was really refreshing. I thought that the energy was really good. And so, like, there's a bit of normalcy in all of that, yeah. Right? When you when you're able to put out something and for people to receive it, I think that it's really nice. I thought that was
Mouse. I have a question here that may and this is not for, like, any of us who have done lives. This is not for obviously the D-Nices or the Timbaland and the Swiss. But is there a limit to how many Instagram lives you want to see on your timeline?
Mm. See, now we're getting to some real good questions.
Well, let's go. I'm gonna say, the only reason I'm gonna say yes, but not from this standpoint of, like, the times we're in. I've always thought that should be an option. I think it's a double-edged sword, right? I think when you go on your Instagram, I don't want to see the cousin with 10 followers that I just follow because he's my cousin. Right. I don't want to see that he's live. But there's right. nothing about his live that I care about. I think we should pick and choose who's live we should be notified about. But then again, like I said, I know as a and this is just me being honest with myself. I know me as a
celebrity.
I guess. No.
When you're a famous person, like, well, guys like us.
Macro. Okay, so I would be a macro famous person, right? So I understand that that is kind of how I get my wins, right? Like, I'm not doing these social media numbers that you know would cause a million people to tune in. So it's kind of like it's a give and take. But I do think there's a lot of things Instagram could be doing to help this out, you know. Giving us the choice would definitely help us out, because like I said, I don't want to see cousins
until I consistently hop into people's lives that I don't mean to.
No,
and then I'm like the only person there.
That is the worst.
And I stick around because of my Jewish guilt, and so then I'm just like
the one person there.
Yeah, and I'm like, hey, you know.
By the way,
I guess we're both on this walk, huh?
Mouse, how pissed are you going to be when your cousin with, like, you know, 10 followers that you're only following because you feel guilty or related or whatever, when that cousin becomes famous?
Oh, I'm going to be like, hey, man, you remember? I'm going to hit them the same way everybody hit me now. And I know y'all know it. I'm going to hit them the same way they hit us. Hey, man, we got a bill, bro. Like, that's really the only way we're going to win. You know, the non-successful person always got that same excuse. It's the same. Yo, man, that's the only way we're going to win is doing this together, you know? And I just want to be like, how do you know? How do you know?
I went to go see the Horrible Decisions podcast live here in New York at Sony Hall. And about halfway through the performance, Mouse comes in. Everyone had been seated, had been, like, paying attention, had been having a nice time. Mouse, like, sort of saunters in and takes a seat and looks over at me and gives me a head nod. So afterwards, though.
Social distancing.
That's right. Before it was cool.
Yeah.
Afterwards, though, I loved the fact that so many people came up to Mouse and wanted to take pictures and wanted to, like, you know, be around him and ask him questions and all that. And Mouse, you are, you know, you thrive in a public situation. You're great on a stage. You're great when you're meeting fans. You're great when you're just, like, talking to friends. How much do you miss people right now?
Man, I don't know if I miss people as much as I miss the option to be around people, right? Like, I think we, like, it's, I know everybody sees us and they're like, oh, man, like, they're mixier. They're always outside. And it's like, nah, not really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I like having the option of doing that, right? Like, I like the option of being inside all week and not going to nothing all week and then saying, you know what, on Saturday, I'm going to pop out.
Mm-hmm.
Who's doing this? I'm a pop out. But you know, I can't lie and act as if there's not a part of me that enjoys the work that we do, enjoys the work of being a people person. Those energies, they're just as heavy as they are. Like, I feed off of that.
Mm-hmm.
I feed off of that. It keeps me on my toes. It keeps me fresh. And I think it does the opposite of what it might do for other people. You know, people running up on me and wanting pictures and all that, it doesn't gas me as much as it centers me. It really levels me because, like, yo,
yeah,
they can literally, like, being in the same exact position and still to this day still being a fan of people, but just being in that position where just a few years ago that was me. You know, I might have been the asshole who always felt he was too cool for a picture, but I never was against, you know, running up on somebody and just telling them how much I appreciate the work they've done.
Mm-hmm.
So now to see it flipped, it doesn't gas me as much as it, you know, it levels me.
Yeah.
It keeps me centered.
Yeah.
And that part I miss extremely. Just, you know, knowing that what we do in our confined areas, in our confined spaces, touches people the way it touches them.
Yeah. I think that's something that, like, I never really realized until you just said it, where it's just like, no, like, I'm such a person who I get down very easily, and it does really center me when people reach out and when people, you know, take pictures, when people show, like, that sort of energy back to me. Like, it absolutely levels me. It doesn't gas me. It levels me.
Right.
Right. Right. And I think it takes I think the people And once again, guys like us, I think when you have that, when you have that outlook, that lets you know you're going to be around for a while.
Mouse.
I think.
Yeah.
Yep.
No, I was just going to say that, like, there's all this positivity, but at the same time, there's a lot of negativity out there. And I'm
right here. I'm the negative one.
I don't know if you saw this yesterday, but Liberty University, which is Jerry Falwell's institution, right?
Yeah.
Down there in Virginia, I believe.
Yes.
He made sure that all of his students
Came back from spring break. Yeah,
bucked the norms out here and went back on campus because, you know, this is a godly thing and it's this, that, and the other thing. And so many of those kids have gotten sick now from being back on campus. And listen, you're a man of God. God is good.
Right.
The whole thing. But don't you hate when people use God in twisted ways and use it for evil?
I think it is the most, I think outside of, you know, rape and abuse of children, I think it's the most despicable thing a person could do is play on somebody's religious belief and use it for their own, you know, perversion and their own gain. I think it's disgusting. Like, there's really no way around it, right? There's no way to, you know, articulate it outside of just it's disgusting. And there's a special place wherever you're going. Because I don't have the answers.
Right.
But wherever you end up, you're going to pay. You're going to pay for that because this is people losing their life.
For
and I
real.
Don't know what, you know, I don't know. Even in every book, in every religious book, it says, listen to wise counsel. It says that right there. In whatever language your book comes in, it says, listen to wise counsel. So if the doctors are telling you, hey, y'all might want to sit y'all ass down. You might, and because I'm dealing, I was dealing with it on my side because you see so many, if we're just being honest, in the black church community, it's a lot of people who, that's their bread and butter. Sunday service, Tuesday service, that's their bread and butter. And, you know, I think you can't pray this thing away.
No, you can't outsmart a virus. Like, it's a crazy thing, you know? Like,
and you shouldn't want to put your members, whoever you're in charge of, you shouldn't want to put them in harm's way. Whether you're a teacher, whether you're a pastor, a preacher. And like I said, I think that's how my biological father came in contact with it because he was still, you know, doing church services. And I'm like, yo, sit down. Like, just sit down.
Yeah, it's a sad state of affairs, I think, when people don't want to listen to science. You know, I think more and more, and by the way, that starts at the very top with Trump, you know.
Well, no, I don't think it starts with them. I think that, I mean, and I know you're saying, but it's like this is a 50-year dissolution of, you know, people's faith in education.
Yeah.
It's people not wanting to pay for public schools. It's you know, like all this stuff. When it trickles down over 50 years, it's just like that's what happens.
Yeah, it feels
when
like...
When you starve government, when you starve public institutions because you don't want to pay taxes, when you...
Yep.
Like, all this shit.
Yeah, and I think that it feels sometimes like the Dark Ages, right, where people don't want to listen to science and medicine and all that, and where there will be a price to pay for people who go against, you know, that grain. But... I don't know how to sort of, you know, enjoy or not enjoy the far-flung conspiracy theories that are out there, right?
Oh, you got to enjoy those. Well, that's the best part about all of this.
Have you heard any ridiculous ones beyond...
Or have you started any?
Beyond the 5G conspiracy?
Oh, the 5G one is actually so good.
The 5G one was really good for so many reasons. It was like... Just because it's Carrie Hilson saying, I'm like, this is great. what have you done in your field that makes me want to believe whatever you're saying about any other field?
Dr. Hilson?
Yeah.
You knocked me down.
I wish you said something in like the battles that were going on like last night.
Yeah, because she was in them.
Yeah, she was commenting.
No, I was in there. I was in the Which one was I in? I was in
the Neo. I didn't see because I blocked Mouse.
I was in Neo versus Jante.
Yo,
I don't know. But I'm realizing that for whatever reason, like with these algorithms, I guess because so many people are on these lives.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some people, like I was seeing people respond to you guys, and I'm like, I don't see y'all comments.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah. There were lots of people in there that, like, you know, Jadakiss is saying something to Wale, and I was like, I didn't even know that Wale
was
exactly.
in here. Exactly. I see Jadakiss and Wale, like, responding, but I didn't see the initial. So I'm like, man.
Wait a second. Is this the 5G conspiracy right here?
Wow. Thank you for voicing that.
Wow. I literally heard, when I heard you say that, I thought of a Hotep meme. Like, I just seen you. Eric,
there were just like lasers coming out of Eric's eyes.
I seen the lasers coming out of your eye.
Last night's battle was so phenomenal. It was
best one.
It was
best
done. One. It was done right. It was the level of competition was amazing. You know, it felt really good.
Did you realize that Jante had that many hits?
Yeah, I'm a huge Jante fan. I've been a huge Jante Austin fan since I want to say like 2005, 2006 when he came out with his own stuff.
I thought you were gonna say his Bow Wow stuff.
No.
well, the Bow Wow stuff, yes, but he had came out with he had this record Turning Me. Is it Turning Me Up or Turning Me Up with Jadakiss?
You're thinking of Kevin Little.
No.
You're an idiot. But yeah, I've been a huge Jante. So I kind of knew Neo was. See, this is the thing. Neo would have lost no matter what, but he could have put up a better fight if he picked what songs he was going to play and win better. Like, there's certain songs, if he would have played against different songs, that he probably would have won the round.
Right. There were a lot of people who were just like, yo, why is he waiting on So Sick? Why is he, like, you know.
And that Jante played it right, because he came in with, like, a strategy.
Well, so.
Exactly.
Mouse, you did see The Dream the other night, right? Go against Sean Garrett?
I was in and out of that. That was very uncomfortable to watch. I was in and out.
Wait, you didn't like that Sean Garrett was all up in the video?
I didn't like anything about Sean Garrett. I didn't like anything about that. I liked
that the next day he was like, no, I wasn't on anything.
And I believe him.
Oh my god.
He was like, he said he was on Tylenol because there were people yelling in the room.
Oh,
he couldn't focus.
Listen, to be as successful as you was, and then to be where you're at now, you might not need a drug to act like that.
Hey man, so I just loved that people were talking about strategy and mm-hmm. the fact that, like, you know, Dream came out like swinging, mm-hmm. and the majority of the comments really like do treat this like a boxing match, and you have to. I love the strategy. I love the thinking.
Who wins, Diddy versus JD?
Okay. So
this is this is supposed to happen. By the way, we're recording this before this is supposed to happen.
Right.
Also, do you think it will happen?
This is all predictions. All predictions. But if it happens, it's because Eric and Jeff sent a check.
Yeah. Okay.
Rosenthal check cleared.
Listen, Mouse, Illuminati meetings are not happening while we're in quarantine.
Yeah. It's usually every Tuesday night.
Wow.
It's in the Rotary Club.
That's right.
So I shouldn't make that Cash App deposit to Eric and Jeff Illuminati.
Yeah.
Who is gonna win, Mouse? Puff?
I got Puff coming out. It's gonna be a slobber knocker. Is that an official term? In wrestling. but yeah, it's gonna be a dog fight. But I have Puff coming out. This could be New York bias. This could be Puff bias. I think Diddy, everything Puff does, there's an aesthetic of Puff in it. And it's real fly.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, where JD does it, and it sounds good. It's going to sound just as good as Puff, and like the sound is going to equal each other out. You got to sell it. Like, Swizz only lasted as long as he did against Timbaland because he was selling.
Absolutely,
yeah.
Like, he was having like the 1 minute buildup. Like, see, like I was crying when he said he told Timbaland played something. He was like, yo, this is what you play when the club is it was empty. I said, nah, why is he so disrespectful? But I understood it, and it painted a picture, right? So yeah. I think that's where Puff is going to, like, his records are just flyer. Like, what is JD gonna do when Puff drops I Need a Girl Part 1, and then the very next round drops it Part 2? where now we're having a debate about Puff records. You get what I'm saying?
Like, yeah, but then he might do some Usher stuff.
Points were made.
Listen, man, and we were saying this, we were talking to Jinx before, and we love that this is...
Hey man, fuck Jinx. fuck that show. No, I'm playing, man. I love that guy, Jinx. Shout out to everything.
We're gonna take that snippet, we're gonna give it to Say Cheese Media.
but we were talking with Jinx about the fact that, like, this is culture. Right?
Yes.
Like
yes.
For anybody, including us, who were afraid that, like, being in these four walls would stop this train, it's like, no, we adapt, we move in different ways, and everyone coming together, whether it's D-Nice and 100,000 people checking him out on a Saturday night, or if it's, like, you know, a Puff and JD battle, we're here for that, and the community continues, and I think that's pretty special.
Yeah, I think the only thing we're missing right now is Graf. So I need to start tagging our walls.
Oh, nice! I thought you meant like the rapper Graf.
No, but shouts to him.
I'm like, I'm not doing this. I'm not doing.
Mouse, listen. Take care of yourself. Take care of your family, as we know you are. We love you. Stay safe in there, and
guys like us, we're gonna make it out. Okay,
right, that's right.
Guys like us, we're gonna make it out. I don't know. This is coming out tomorrow.
Yeah.
All right, everybody, make sure you had to look out for Quarantine Nightly with Mouse Jones. I'm gonna be doing a nightly.
You're doing the after party?
Yes, the after party. But no, I think I need it. And once again, it's literally a direct inspiration from you guys. I was just like, nah, man, I need to do something where I'm keeping this creativity flowing.
Have to.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know what? Let me get this content out. Fuck it. Let's do it nightly. You know what I mean? Like,
where is it going to be? Where's it going to live?
It's going to be on all the regular podcast streaming platforms. You know, I'm going to let you guys have the morning, you know. You guys take the morning, and I'll take the evening shift.
Mouse, keep being creative. We're looking forward to it. We love you. Take care of yourself, all right?
Love you guys, man. Y'all be safe.
You too. Let's call Freeway, Jeff.
Okay.
Hello?
Free, what's happening?
What up?
What's up?
What's happening? How are you living in these uncertain and crazy times right now?
I'm good, man. Just trying to stay focused, you know.
Well, what does staying focused mean for you? Like, are you way into watching, like, the 24-hour news cycle all the time? Are you on, like, social media?
I had to take a break. I was watching CNN probably for, like, the first 2 weeks. Every 5 minutes, I had to take a break on that. I just got finished watching the third season of Ozark.
Oh, shit. Oh, yeah, yeah. No spoilers.
No spoilers.
Yeah. We're halfway through.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's on everything.
We had to... So we started off this whole quarantine where we were watching a bunch of news, and it had this adverse effect where it just, like, took a toll on my body and my mental, and, like, I couldn't stand, like, anything relating to Trump's face or, like, anything coming out of his mouth, right? And and now the only time we watch CNN is just to check in with, like, Governor Cuomo and see what he's talking about.
Because he's a friend.
He's amazing, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah, he go hard.
And otherwise, it's just like escapism. How can I, like, just focus on
literally
me?
Yeah, literally anything else.
And what's going on? Do you have anything?
Yeah, Ozark made me forget all about the coronavirus.
So thank God for that.
Yeah.
I heard there was an argument that was happening on Twitter, and this might just be like a very Twitter thing.
Yeah.
But people were saying Breaking Bad or Ozark.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh man, Ozark killing Breaking Bad.
Whoa.
I might take that. I mean, like, the second season wasn't my favorite of Ozark, but I think, like, the third one is just, like...
Third one is fire right now. And, yeah. And again, we're only halfway
second
through.
Second season was good.
I like second season.
I kept my complete attention to it. Like, but the third season, it's like, I want more right now. I can't even wait till next... Till next March?
I feel like everything might get pushed back because of the
Who knows? Who knows?
Yeah, probably.
What's filmed or what's not? But
yeah.
did you binge straight through it, or did you, like, take it a couple days?
Yeah,
at a time?
I watched it in like a day.
Damn.
Well, wait. What are your other favorite shows?
I mean, I watch like a lot of reality TV. Like, I'll be watching
The Bachelor, Circle.
I'm talking about like the Investigation Discovery Channel. I'll be watching that all the time.
Just the dark shit.
Wait, is that like the murders?
It'd be all the kinds of stuff. It'd be like murders, robberies, like, you know, different stuff. Like, you know, people that committed crimes and messed up and didn't get away with it. Sometimes they got away with it, stuff like that.
What is the what's the thing where you can escape and, like, just, you know, the dumbest thing that you'll watch? Not even, like, you know, like...
Family Guy. I love Family Guy. I've seen every episode they ever made.
Yo, you got to talk to Sheik about that.
Yeah.
I've seen every episode, I promise you. I love Family Guy. Then I could watch it all over again and still... it'd still be as funny as it was the first time.
Free, are you feeling... the craziness at all, the stir craziness of being indoors in these same, like, four walls all the time?
I mean, it's not that bad for me. Y'all remember when I got the transplant, I had to stay in the house for like 3-4 months. So
this is just, you
know,
like,
I mean, I do be getting times where I'd be like, oh, I want to get out of here, but for the most part, I'd be straight.
Yeah, I was wondering, because, I mean, like, we had Carly Hustle on, and Carly has had her battles with breast cancer, and so, you know, I was wondering, for someone who's immunocompromised right now, like, is this an added stress when everybody else is basically going through the things that you've already gone through? Or is it just, like, it's more of the same and it doesn't really matter?
I mean, it's more of the same, but I just, like, you know, have to be extra cautious. Like, people be like, yo, why don't you come do this? Or why don't you come do that? Or just come to the studio, ain't gonna be nobody there. And, like, you know, trying to get me to do little things, but... I know that I have to protect myself, so I got to do the best that I can do because I am immunocompromised.
Yeah.
You know, and people don't understand it because it's not them. Like, yeah. You know what I'm saying? So
given this whole thing, a lot of people have been reaching out via FaceTime and doing Zooms and, like,
House Party,
all these different apps, right? Who do you find yourself reaching out to, checking in on a regular basis?
Just my people. Just, you know, like, family, the squad, you know, the people from the prop, you know, everybody. Yeah.
Oh, by the way, today's Neef's birthday?
Yep.
Yeah. Happy birthday to our guy
Neef. Shout out to Neef.
Yeah.
Yep, happy birthday to Neef Buck.
Yeah.
Like,
I should call him on a three-way real quick. Hold on. Let me see if you pick up.
All right, cool.
All right.
What's going on? What's up? You know y'all locked in, man.
Hey,
you know,
man. Happy birthday to you, man.
Oh, man. I appreciate it, man. I really appreciate it. Thanks for the love and support throughout all the years, man.
Of course. Y'all,
man.
How old is you, Buck? 27?
Yeah, man. Free. We still look good, Free, man. You know.
Mashallah.
Yo, guys, while we have you both on here, we were talking to our guy Wayno the other day, right? And we were reminiscing on those days when Chaka Pilgrim had you guys all living in a house together.
All of state property.
Can you talk about that experience and how that compares to being in quarantine like this in these days?
Well, what time you say? What time we was living together? Because
we lived together
in different
a couple
cities.
Times.
Is that right?
A couple times. Yeah, but I remember a time... me, for some reason, like coming up with the crew, me and Chris always had a special bond with each individual, but we always had a bond with Freeway. And I remember us living in Miami.
Yeah.
And me, Chris, and Freeway, we shared like a big apartment, and I think PD Crack, Oskino, and Sparks, they shared a joint, and Mac had a joint by itself. But I can remember so many times, man, we came up with so many records and so many great moments together.
Yeah, so
and
much fun out there, bro. That was crazy.
Yeah, riding scooters and just having a ball.
And remember them things, they was on sale for $100,000. We ain't even buy them now. Them joints probably worth like a couple million.
What? Yeah, what? Yeah. Oh, we used to come out and go on Ocean every day.
Wait, who was the worst roommate?
I don't know. I can't remember. I know one thing about Oskino and Sparks. They had the highest cash. They had the highest bills. They used to order lobster and champagne every night.
They used to, when we first used to go on the road with The Rock, we didn't even have to put our credit cards down for incidentals.
God
we
damn.
Used to be good, but thanks to Oskino, we had to start putting our credit cards down. We was at the W in LA. This nigga spent like $4,700 on champagne.
Yeah.
Right there, what you had a party in that joint? He was doing great.
The good old days, man. We was around when the labels had unlimited. They was spending unlimited cash. on the artists, man. So we thankful to be around them times too when they was sharing that money.
God damn, sure, Neef. So yeah. Being that it's your birthday, and again, you're quarantined, you're staying indoors, you're staying safe. How are you going to celebrate? Because it's not like promoters are out here. You know, do a walkthrough at the club or anything.
Right. They got so much going on the internet. They got virtual parties. I might act like I'm in a party and just throw something up on the gram. They got so much going on.
Yeah, you might as well throw a virtual party tonight, boy.
Quarantine party tonight.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm thankful, man. I'm just thankful that I'm in good health, man. That, you know, my family's straight, all my brothers, and Islam and everybody, my sisters, everybody doing good, man. Everybody in good health, and I just pray that we get through this time. You know, man. What I'm saying? Everybody, you know, get something from this, learn, get closer to God, and you know, just keep it pushing, man. Because that's what it's about, is, you know.
Absolutely. What do you guys know about Philadelphia right now? How's it hanging?
Yeah, are people taking it seriously?
For the most part, people taking it seriously. We still got knuckleheads. I got a homie that just had a cookout the other day and invited me to. Wow. I'm like, man, I'm not doing nothing. Yeah, man. It's still the hood, man. Is the hood, like the hood? Yeah. They out there, boy. Like you go to Kensington and Somerset, that joint look like it's the summertime. It's popping out there.
That's nuts.
Yeah, I saw on Twitter
everybody got some senses taking heed to it, you know.
Yeah, yeah. You know, that's like sometimes in the hood, man, nobody really respected to it at their front door. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So until they really see it for themselves or have somebody that they love or somebody in their family or somebody that's really close to them, they don't believe shit's thinking to them, you know.
No, this shit's real, man.
Yeah, no, I think that's like a very like Republican mentality too, where it's just like you have to, you know, somebody with it. You have to,
right? When it gets to the red states, then they'll start to believe it. You know,
yeah.
And make sure everybody send a prayer for Scarface too, man.
Oh, yeah, and Slim Thug.
Yeah,
he's a good brother, man, and Muslim too. So make sure y'all say a prayer for him. Inshallah, Allah point him through the situation, man.
Absolutely. Yeah, for sure.
So in the meantime,
everybody that got it right now.
Absolutely. Oh yeah. In the meantime, how are you guys keeping busy in terms of work? Are you able to record anything at home and keep your minds creative?
Yeah, I've been putting together a bunch of stuff. I haven't recorded anything, but I've been putting like a lot of stuff together in my voice notes. And I've been dropping a couple freestyles. I dropped a freestyle the other day, they're going crazy over. So everybody that's listening.
Yeah.
Go to my Instagram at Philly Freeway and like my freestyle that I just dropped the other day.
Yeah, Free, I've been seeing you bombing, but I got
another one I just was cooking up this morning, the coronavirus joint. That joint crazy.
Oh, yeah. That's what's up. Yeah, it's just sitting back strategizing, man, and planning, man, and, you know, as soon as all this get over, man, you just got to, you know, execute all your plans.
Exactly.
And, you know, just sit back. And, you know, strategize and get your plans together for what you're going to do once it open back up, because it definitely will, inshallah.
Yeah, like, by the way, Free, while I've been in here, I've had, like, I started out with one goal, which was I've never grown a beard more than, like, a week. Like, that was the longest I've ever done. And so my plan was to do, like, a Unabomber beard, but maybe I'll do, like, a Philly beard. So I was wondering if you had any tips on how to grow like my best beard.
I got beard cream. I got a product called Best Beard Cream. If you shoot me an address, I'll send you some, and then it'll help you out tremendously.
There we go.
I appreciate that.
That's what we like right there.
That's not exactly why I invited you on here, but it is why.
www.bestbeardcream.com and get y'all some beard cream. But I got you. Shoot me an address, and I'll send you some, and it'll definitely help promote your beard growth for sure.
Thank you very much.
It's all natural.
All right. Well, my other goal was to grow a ponytail. So, do you have any tips for growing a ponytail?
I'm with that.
It'll work on your ponytail too. It'll grow too.
Yo, listen, guys, we love you. Stay strong out there. Stay healthy and stay indoors. Neef, happy birthday, Free. We'll talk to you guys soon. All right. Take care.
Okay. Thank you, Eric. All right. Thank you.
How y'all look?
Shout out to Freeway, shout out to Neef Buck, shout out to Mouse Jones, and shout out to our guy Jinx. Jeff, we are back tomorrow.
Yes, this is a lot of pointing.
As always, guys, now for real.
Sure.
See you guys tomorrow.